Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Helga, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the New Year's retreat. Welcome, Helga.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we've heard a number of glowing reports from Project Joy folks who have called in to talk about their experience. And, you know, just there may be people who listen to Open Air who do not, you know, who don't have a chance to hear those Project Joy shows. And so we thought it would be fun to bring that enthusiasm and excitement to this forum. And thank you for being willing to be someone to talk to us about your experience of what it was to participate in the retreat.
Yeah, thanks for asking me. You know, it was interesting because when I got the email, it really started, you know, I started thinking, I've been processing a lot about the retreat already, but just, you know, it just made me think more, yeah, so what are my awarenesses? What have I gotten out of the retreat? And I just, you know, took another look at the whole experience for myself, so it was really good to do that. So,
It's always nice to have that invitation, isn't it, to stop and really consider that. It brings a whole new dimension to it.
Yeah, so, you know, I made the decision to come to the retreat because I think on some radio show they were talking about, Sherry was talking again about that whole thing about tossing a coin when you make a decision. And I've never done that. I've never done that before. And I thought, oh, you know what? I'm kind of really on the fence about this retreat. You know, I'm coming from the East Coast. It's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's the traveling and everything. So, you know, I didn't really think I was going to come. But anyway, so I did toss the coin, and the coin said to go.
I thought that's fabulous. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was the first time I've done that. And, you know, my first reaction was, no, I don't really want to do that. And if I don't go, nobody will know anyway. So it's like, you know, just forget about the whole thing.
Right.
But then I thought, well, you know, if I'm doing this, you know, I should just really, you know, do it. And then I heard about the theme for the retreat, which was strong emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in a very emotional and difficult place for quite a while now. And I thought, you know, this is probably just perfect. So
exactly. This is life taking care of me.
So that's how I ended up going.
I love it. What a great story. Yeah. Just that place of, I mean, that, gosh, can't we all relate to that? No one will know. It's just me. And then to get to that place of realizing, that just me is everything. That's everything.
Yeah.
All I know. And that's the most important thing. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. So tell us about your experience of being on the retreat. That's so, you know, as you say, so perfect because you've really been in a challenging place and part of that being kind of strong emotions. Like, and so then getting to have a sense of exploring that for 5 days.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, the first thing for me, it makes a big difference if I'm actually sitting in a room with people, or if I'm, you know, being on some virtual reality with other people. It makes a big difference for me. And you know, even though, I mean, obviously there's no contact or anything like that, but just having all these other people there, you know, working on their own issues and you know, having the ability to share with people. It's really important to me. And I can't, you know, I mean, Sherry talked about it, but it's really true. It's like, you know, I can't replace that with anything else. So just that is really important to me to, you know, kind of, it keeps me focused, you know. The meditation has a different quality for me when I'm sitting in a room with other people, or if I'm sitting by myself. You know, it's just, there's a depth to it that I, you know, it's just a different quality for me.
Yeah,
so
absolutely
that's really
agree.
Important to do
absolutely
that every
agree.
So often. You
know? Yes, yes. And the virtual part of it is incredibly important because then, you know, if we just go off on our own after a retreat, gosh, that's so challenging. But as you say, there's
right.
nothing that the place of that in person. And I'll just say a quick commercial for the New Year's retreat in particular. I don't know about you, but to me, wow, there's something about, first of all, the number of people that are able to be at the retreat center because it's a large retreat center. And then just something about just stepping into that beautiful, what we use as the meditation hall, and just being with everyone. It's very magical.
Hmm.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And, you know, and then I thought, I mean, there were so many insights that I had, you know, that I can't even think of. But one of the big, big things that I got away from is I've had my whole life, you know, I've always thought of myself as a very emotional person, you know, because I have like all these planets in Scorpio and, you know, so my whole orientation has been around emotions, and it's kind of like informed my life, and you know, and gives me information of my surrounding and all that stuff, and looking at emotions in the way that you guys do that has really, you know, really broken that open, you know, and make me question a lot of these assumptions that I've had around emotions, and I really yeah. appreciated how it all got broken down, and really take a really close look at, you know, what is an emotion, where does
yeah.
it start.
Yeah.
Where does it go and where does it
yeah.
end? So it, you know, just this whole identity that I had around emotions, you know, that
yeah.
was really a very important piece for me.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of that teaching that's so central to our practice, which is that, you know, there's this belief that emotions make things real. And so so conditioned to just an emotion comes up, we just go with it. And, you know, it's tempting to talk about the process because the process that we were talked through, sort of that we went through together in the retreat was so powerful, but I am mindful that there's any number of Sangha hopefully who are going to get to go through it in both North Carolina and Pennsylvania later this year. So don't want to give away the details, but exactly as you say, to get to have that time and that space and to be led through a process of really looking at it and being able to get past the conditioning that we have around it, and then to be able to actually work with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, one of the biggest things that I've came away from is that I've had my whole life, anger has been sitting on my right shoulder, and it's, you know, and I've wrestled with it, and I've had a lot of shame around it, and I feel like for the first time, you know, I was in an environment where there was no judgment about about any of the emotions. And, I mean, truly no judgment around anger. And so I could look at myself without these judgments and without shame and you know, holding myself with compassion and learning to do that. And that is like, you know, the most important and the most alien thing in a way for me. I've never even considered the possibility, you know, to be with anger without having to express it or repress it, and just be with it with compassion for this human that has really also suffered tremendously from it, you know, from childhood onward. And that is really, I mean, that's an ongoing process. And, you know, it's like, as I said, it's somewhat, you know, it's so foreign to me in some ways that I'm really, you know, it's like a daily practice, but it's so powerful.
Yes, that's where I was going to, Helga, that first to get to have a glimpse of that compassion and that what it sounds like is unconditional acceptance for something that your whole life has been such a source of suffering. And then to have that possibility put out in a retreat setting, again, where we're walked through the curriculum was brilliant, as usual. It's incredible what, in this case, well, Ashwani always puts together the curriculum. So it was just a brilliant curriculum, I felt like, that we were walked through.
Yeah.
And to what you're talking about, even if we hear people say it, well, you know, you could just meet that anger with unconditional acceptance and with compassion. It's like, oh, yeah, good idea. Well, how am I going to do that, right? But to actually get to walk through a process of getting to see the possibility of learning the process to be in that acceptance and then to be able to practice it, as you say, on a day-to-day basis.
Go ahead. No, I was just, you know, I got pretty sick in the retreat. And, you know, on my way back, the flight back to Charleston was really miserable. And I felt, like, so completely, you know, beaten down by being sick and then, you know, having been in this pretty intense environment and everything. And at some point I was sitting in the plane and for some reason, you know, I remembered my father. And my father is the one that, you know, held all the rage in my family. And, you know, he was a rageaholic. I mean, you know, he was dangerous. And for the first, you know, he just came into my mind, and for the first time in my life, I could really cry for my father. That was such a, you know, that was such a, I mean, I've cried for him. I've felt him, you know, it's like, I mean, I've been going through all these processes my whole life, but I really, for the first time I felt, because I felt, had that glimpse of compassion for myself, you know, I could really feel the pain that man had been in his whole life, and how caught up he was in it, and, you know, and he couldn't get out of it. And anyway, it felt so good, you know, it felt so good to cry for that man.
You know, it reminds me, Helga, of why inner peace, world peace is one of sort of the taglines of this practice. You're just describing that so perfectly, because when we do this deep inner work that we do in practice, and in particular on retreat, we come to that place of incredible compassion for all beings. Well, I see that we are up at the top of the hour. Was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
No, just, you know, and the very last thing, you know, I just want to say that here. I just, you know, I felt so touched in the very end by the generosity of you guys, you know, sending me off back to San Francisco. I mean, I was just really pretty speechless, I have to say. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. It was an incredible experience, really.
It's a generous practice. It sure is. Speaking of that, thank you for your generosity of time and being with us this evening.
Oh, thank you.
And I do want to say that I believe the North Carolina retreat on Strong Emotion is in April, if I'm not mistaken, and the registration opens, I think, February 1st, so folks can keep an eye out for that.
Thank you.
Take good care. Okay.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Helga. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Happy New Year to you.
And to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
How's this New Year so far?
Mine has been fabulous from the very first minute. So,
I know.
Yeah.
I think
sitting
it's
in meditation
be good.
Was great. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love that conversation as well with Helga and Jen. It was very touching, moving for me.
Mm-hmm. We have, I suppose everybody feels this way about whatever it is that they do, but I do think we have a remarkable sangha and a truly remarkable practice. So it's always, it's just so good to hear from people and hear their experience and be able to share that and have their practice inspire and inform our practice, and it just ricochets around in the most delightful kinds of ways.
Yes, it does. And I was reflecting on when Helga was talking about the kindness, and what dropped in for me is I've experienced that kindness as well. And I think for me, knowing that it comes so cleanly and so purely without any expectation, you know, of a thank you or acknowledgement, or I think that's why it lands so well with me, the kindness that comes from practice.
No giving to get. People
yes.
are just doing what they're doing in the moment, and
yes.
It turns out it's kind and compassionate.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have announcements here.
All right.
You, Sherry, and Ashwini will lead a video workshop on Sunday, January 21st. On the exciting practice offerings coming up in 2018.
We thought 2017 was as good as it can get, but no.
We're going to need new words, new superlatives to describe each year. Yes. And you, Sherry, will guide a Socratic email class on communication, February 1st through 28th, and the class will be an opportunity to explore how ego I causes suffering. Don't miss the chance to do a deep dive into your communication karma.
Gosh, you know, I'm really excited for this class because in one of those, you know, jumpstart us again, yet another jumpstart into practice, because when I think we don't really realize the role that communication plays in suffering, and when we explore that together, I think we're just all going to move to a completely new and different orientation to everything.
Yeah, the suffering that's inherent in conditioned communication. Yeah.
Oh, it's brutal. It really is. It is one of the ego's primary hideouts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make cast show and a focus on one topic in a 5-minute conversation is great. Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Greta.
Well, hi, Greta. Greta.
Yeah, it's been a few hours since we
spoke. I know. This is fun. Twice in one day. What's going on?
Well, I'm just starting off the new year right, putting myself in the queue and watching the excitement. Yes, watching the excitement of standing here saying, hearing the information that I'm going to be called on and having, like, no idea what to talk about.
The best place to be.
Yep. So what what I'm practicing with today and what I most appreciate about the things we've been talking about is just the constant practice of recording and listening and just really upping my game one more time to stay here, because the alternative has been pretty unpleasant, and it's just, you know, if we're going to go into a new practice year and new things to see and practice with, it'd be good to kind of get my foundation.
Uh-huh. And so I particularly enjoyed, I don't know if you did, the conversation we had on Project Joy today with the woman who is has discovered the joys of just being in conversation with herself all day long.
Yeah, that's what that's one of the things that I'm referring to is just, okay, well, and the person last week who said just set a timer and record every hour or whatever it is, just to make that choice, make that movement.
And do you feel, are you okay with talking about what you heard from Bev this morning? Just because, again, there are probably people on this call that weren't on the one this morning.
Yeah, she was expressing her appreciation for something that you had said a while back about just recording all the time and just having a conversation with your recorder as your best friend, and or, you know, like you would talk to your dog or whatever. The term she referred to that you used was nattering. Just, you know, you're just going through your day and you're having a really pleasant conversation about what's going on and finding out that you're having a good time. That was her main takeaway, was not only am I having a good time, I'm a really good person.
Yes. And listening back to them, she had all kinds of insights.
Right, right.
That it seemed like at the time they were just going along just talking about stuff in my day. And then listening back to it, getting these insights, and then recording those insights. Yeah. Yeah, so that proof in hearing this person talk through her or his day, proof that that's a really good person, that the version of who that person is that we hear in conditioned mind has nothing to do with who the person actually is. And you know who the person is. You know, it's like you never know somebody until you live with them. Well, there it is. You know, now we're with this person all day long every day, and there's no longer confusion about who this person is because you're hearing their caring and their concern and their desire to do the best that they can do, and just all of those kinds of things that we're not allowed to take in about ourselves if we're listening to conditioned mind assess us.
Yeah, exactly. And what I thought was so powerful about what she said that I could immediately relate to is just there's irrefutable evidence then. So the voices can go on and on about what a terrible person I am, but right then and there I have evidence that that's not true. And I think that's a piece that's been missing for me, because I'll get suckered into believing a conversation, and then I'll fall for it. And an example that I saw on the cushion the other day was I went to a movie, and when I was sitting on the cushion and the movie was playing in my head, I knew it was a movie because I was just there. But when I hear something about me, I fall for it. But if I was just in a conversation about how I'm a perfectly good person and I'm worth whatever I need to do to take care of myself or whatever it happens to be, there's the evidence, and I don't have to fall for a conversation I've heard a million times that's incredibly boring and wrong. I can make the distinction because I'm in another conversation, the one that we're turning our attention to.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's for many, many people, it is getting to know oneself for the first time. Having an actual, authentic experience of, you know, who I would call myself, who you would call myself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's what I've been doing today, is just putting the recorder on. I'm working on my art practice, and what happens is I just get to this place which I kind of was talking to you about this morning. It's kind of analogous to the deer in the headlights place, and I don't know what to do. So it happens because I don't know. So the person needs encouragement. The person needs, you know, support. So So I pull, you know, now okay, then I'm recording about what's going on and just see what arrives instead of getting, you know, whirled around in that spot.
Yeah, yeah. And so the person is stuck, you know. Okay, well, let's see. What can we do? The same way you would talk with anybody else, right? And that you would talk nicely with somebody because they're a nice person that you like. And that's the relationship that we begin to get, right? And then, as Bev was indicating, you start hearing all kinds of wise things. So, you know, 2 weeks from now, you listen to that recording, maybe you're in the same kind of conditioned place that you were in then, and you heard something really wise and helpful, you hear it again and go, oh, right, right. And, boy, it's the way out of the suffering.
Yeah, and so I guess I needed to hear it again because I called in again, and here we are.
And got on again, and we have the conversation again, and we can't have it too many times. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate all the support.
So, all right. Me too, Greta.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. I don't think I can hear it too many times, Sherry, that I need to be here. And I'm a good person, and life is fun and short.
And short.
Why not be here? Yes.
Yeah, we want to be here to enjoy it. Yeah, and I love that idea of there's Greta doing her artwork. So Helga was talking about there's just nothing like being in a room full of people who are having the same experience that you're having, you know, doing the same awareness practice that you're doing. And so to have somebody to do your art practice with, somebody who really likes you and wants you to have a good time, wants you to enjoy yourself, is encouraging instead of constantly negative. What a blessing.
Yeah, what a blessing no matter what we're doing.
Yeah. Going on a road trip, going to the grocery store, whatever we're doing, right? Why not do it with somebody who loves us unconditionally?
Yes, yes, exactly, exactly. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Susan, calling from L.A.
Hey, how are you, Susan? You're on early.
I know. Usually I'm at the end. Everything turns
I
around
know.
In the New Year's.
It's a, that's right. It's a new year. We can let go of those old ideas. Yeah, here we are. So what's going on?
Oh, it was. It, I keep waiting for it to be great. My mother died this last week.
Oh.
So I know.
Oh.
So I spent New Year's.
One is never ready for that, are they?
No, no. Uh-huh. I spent New Year's in the ICU, and so she was 93 going on 94, which is to not take away from the pain of it, but to also say, you know, she didn't die young.
That's right. That she had, as we like to say, a good run.
A good run, 9 children. I mean, she had a pretty full
life.
Oh,
my gosh.
Yeah,
whoa.
Tell me about it. I was raised in daycare.
Where are you in the hierarchy or the continuum or however you want to think of it?
Oh, I always say I was third to the eldest, so I was in upper management.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. So whatever happened, you were part of the problem, right? Yeah.
Exactly. I had managed well enough. So, you know, I don't really have one I just wanted to share what was going on, a question, but there's her death and everything that goes with it, and then there's all the, we're planning the funeral, which will be in Oklahoma, family dynamics, and for me, I realize I'm on this journey. I didn't really ask to be on, and it's probably one of the biggest workshops, both her dying, and then, you know, in such a large family, there's people who
are all your siblings
soul.
Still living?
No, three of my sisters have died. there's been a lot of that in my family. But I find myself kind of like the phrase in the Project Joy about, I don't know, people, you know, I had a lot of people calling and saying, so how are you doing? How are you feeling? And I think, I don't know. I've never had my mother die before. I don't know. And I'm okay with it till about 3 a.m. when I wake up and I start hearing this, woulda, coulda, shoulda, you didn't do good enough, you went there when she really, you know, just all, for 10 years she's really had a hard time. And so I don't find myself like as depressed and upset as I think or somebody thinks I should be. And I don't even know, the difference between mourning her life and celebrating her life and without getting into the regrets and the beatings of the I wasn't a good enough daughter thing. I don't even know if I'm making sense. I just don't want to be tortured with it.
You're making total sense. Yeah. It's just so, gosh, there was somebody that I was talking to recently. It was just a loved one dies. And then the whole focus of that process becomes self-hate. Everything that you did wrong, all the ways that you failed, all the ways you weren't loving, you know, and I had to finally yell. You cannot allow that. You just simply cannot allow that. It is absolute bogus. It's nonsense. It's crapola. There's no truth to it. It is therefore nothing else but to make you feel that. It is simply not true.
I'm glad. It's just like I must not be really mourning if I'm not suffering. It's something about that.
Exactly, Susan. Exactly. That's how conditioning operates. I don't really love you if I'm not crazed with jealousy. Okay? If I'm not suicidal when you leave, I don't really care. I'm not really sad that you died if I'm not just in a hole of regret.
Regret and feeling bad and being depressed not going on with my life. You know, like I'll get up I'm going surfing this morning and then I think, God, I hope nobody knows about surfing. My mother just died. Or I'm laughing with somebody and then I think, oh, they must be thinking what a horrible person. Her mother just died. How come she's not, you know? And I thought, God, stop it with all the rules, you know?
Yes. Good. That is an excellent. That's excellent. You know, at the same time, I don't know what's going on. My mother's never died. But
I don't.
There's this set of rules that you're meant to follow. So, right, conditioned mind didn't even have a mother, but it is an expert on how a person needs to be with that. And it all comes down to feeling bad.
Yeah. And I, you know, even as I listen to you talk, now I can feel the sadness, but that's kind of all I have to say. I'm just sad. There's no more story to it. I'll miss her.
Yes.
And here's the ace in the hole for conditioning, which is, and I can hear the voice now, that's right, Susan, but you're in denial, and you're going to wake up after the funeral's over, and you're going to be a crazy person, and just, you won't be able to get out. You know, that kind of fear.
Yeah, you just wait. You just wait.
Just wait. You're not suffering. Yeah. Wait till it's over. And I think, really? Really? Is that true? You know, really?
Well, you know, so if we go through the kind of general stages of death, it is true that after, at first, there's a lot of activity, as you say. You know, you're trying to get with family and orchestrate, and that, you know, that keeps us busy enough that really all we have time and energy left over for is listening to those hateful voices and feeling bad, right? So that's kind of a whole program right there. And when that time is over, I bet you will have a different experience, because in the beginning, there's that kind of shock. and right. and all the busyness and the chaos and that goes with it, and then everything settles down and slows down, and there's just this empty space that you're mugged mm-hmm. to fill. And mm-hmm. and so you will have a different relationship with that. But predicting mm-hmm. that it's going to be awful and horrible, you know, the thing that is, I think, so important for us to remember in practice is, yes, we have pain. We do. Mm-hmm. We feel sad. We feel lost. We miss people. But that's not the same as suffering. You know, suffering is what happens when we get in relationship with those voices.
Yeah, I'm really trying to take it in. Yeah, because, yeah, it's kind of like I'm going to be punished for not suffering enough. And
you're gonna be punished as much as you're willing to be punished.
Right, right? And I'm not.
Right, we know that. Yeah. So, Susan, you know, I don't know if this would work for you or if you do this or ever thought about it, but one of the things that really helps me in mm-hmm. a loss situation is to spend every bit of time that I can talking with that person. Because from a Buddhist view of how life works, you know, your mother is in transition now. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so as she transitions, now I don't speak from authority here, okay? I have a sense that this is probably true, but I'm not going to try mm-hmm. to tell you. I know this is true. But during that transition, what we want to hear is that we did a good job.
Mm.
You know, the people were happy with the effort that we made, and that they appreciate us. And so to talk to your mother about okay. all of the good memories that you have, you know, everything that you appreciated about her, and things will drop in as you begin, as you pursue that process. And so the memories will come to you, and you'll talk to her about them. And it's twofold. One, I do think people in transition hear us. Mm-hmm. And two, it'll get you focused on something other than those negative voices.
Yeah, yeah. And that's helpful. I will do that. You know, it was 17 days processes in the ICU a lot, and I would take breaks and go do record and listen, and I would feel, you know, distraught, and it was a lot. It was ugly, painful. Anyway, but when I would do two-handed with the mentor, I would have a sense, if she was in a coma, of that place of security. And it was as if she was still inside me. You know, it was a place. It wasn't
yes.
a person. And I thought, okay,
yes.
I'm not alone. She's still here because I feel it.
Yes.
I can feel it
yes.
when I was doing
yes.
the two-handed. And that when you said that, I thought, she's not gone. There's... I'm hooked into a deeper stream than was that person, something like
that's
that.
That's right. Yes, yes, and that's where you really want your attention and awareness to be.
Okay.
Right? That every thought of her is one of, you know, even if it's nothing more than thank you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then that's going to prompt you into all that you receive from her. You know, I suspect that when people are at this point in transition that she is, there's a sense of humor. So even, you know, the memories that when the two of you were together might not have been as much fun, with a little distance, we can see what we've learned and what we got out of it, and there's a lightness to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. That helps. Appreciate
good.
It.
Good. Yeah. And stay in touch, huh? Stay close.
I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, good.
Thanks, Sherry.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye bye. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. Sherry, I found that very touching and moving, mm-hmm. the connections that are possible and how important it is to not let self-hate come in those situations where we're most vulnerable.
Yes. Yeah. It is the most awful thing, I think, that conditioning does. You know, it uses our tenderest experiences against us. You know, the places where we're most open and most loving, that's what it goes for. It's just unspeakably cruel.
Yeah. Sherry, we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that we could live in a conversation about what is true, what is real, what is arising in life in the moment, instead of with the voices of karmic conditioning. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We now have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report finding refuge in my own voice, strengthening the awareness of the mentor, and experiencing the 6 weeks as transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply go to livingcompassion.org. Click on Practice to find 2017 programs and then Recording and Listening Training. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence this year with the support of Recording and Listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
This just a little reminder that even though that was 2017 and now we're in 2018, the programs go on.
The programs go on. Yes, they do.
Uh-huh. We can still go there and find them.
Yes,
all right.
Exactly.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Ellie in San Diego.
Hello.
Hi,
Ellie. What are you up to?
I'm listening, and I don't know, I've just been really experiencing a connection with people as they're sharing their practice, and I'm so grateful to everyone who gets on and talks about their experience, because it's, I don't know, just really feeling that connection.
Mm-hmm. Yep, takes all of us, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's something I've been looking at is this staying in the present, but how, like, planning and review, like, in terms of, you know, what am I doing for the, you know, for this year or for later today, and how to stay present while I'm doing that.
Well, fortunately, I have some tips for you. And now, have you ever heard my favorite Ram Dass story about that?
I don't believe I have.
Okay, well, good. And even if you go partway through, oh, yeah, I've heard that. You know, it'll be deeply meaningful, and there's somebody else who hasn't heard it. So, okay.
Of course.
So here's Ram Dass's answer to that. So in the moment, I realize that I need to go to the dentist. And so in the moment, I call the dentist's office. And in the moment, I make an appointment for 2 months hence. And 2 months hence, in the moment, I go to the dentist.
Yeah.
So it all happens in the moment, whether we think it does or not. So with with planning and with review, if we leave both of them up to the intelligence animating us rather than to conditioned mind, then it all happens perfectly in the present. So one of my favorite things to do, I can't remember, I was talking to people probably at the retreat about this, but I love to get up in the morning and make a recording about my day. You know, it's Tuesday. So what's going to happen on Tuesday? Well, Tuesday I have Project Joy, and then I have this, and then I have that. And then in the afternoon I have open air, and then I go to center for group, and there. And then at the end of the day, I love to make a recording about what actually happened.
Yeah.
Right? And what this does is help me stay tuned into the fact that while I can speculate, I can have kind of a loose, rough idea of how life is going to go, that's all it is. There's absolutely no guarantee, no control, and no real idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I've been seeing that, and I've been seeing also, like, I'll be in the middle of something, and all of a sudden, like, I'm present, I'm doing a recording or listening to a recording, and all of a sudden my brain is going, like, conditioning is taking me in a completely different place, and I come back, or, you know, I'm listening to a radio show or whatever. And it's and then I've been watching the judgment come in right after that.
That
tries to get me into the
there.
Yes.
There, that yes. That's the one where we say, "Oh no, thank you, I'm here now." Thank you. I don't need any input, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're right. So I'm listening to something. Or I'm doing anything, right? I'm doing anything. And then I realize, no, I'm not. I'm gone. Okay? And now how did I realize I'm gone? Well, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
So then the voice wants to come in and beat me up for having been gone. So the net result of that is I'm gone, and then I'm back. I get involved with the voices, and I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the next step of that is I realize, darn it. I just felt for a beating for being gone, which meant I was gone. And the voice says, how long are you going to fall for that? And I'm gone.
Yeah.
So quickly, before I let you go, let's do review. Okay? Mm-hmm. So you did something. You know, you did a big presentation at work. And then you walk back. I don't know if you do presentations at work, but say you do. And then you walk back to your desk, and the voices start in. Maybe they didn't even let you get to your desk, right? Mm. And they start in with what you didn't do and what it sounded like and what people thought, and right? And then people just it's kind of like it's a variation on what we were talking about with Susan, and people just slide into hell, right?
Yeah.
So how do you know, though? Because the voices would say, well, but, you know, if you don't do a review, then how are you ever going to learn anything? How are you going to – I'll tell you how. Okay? You're going to sit quietly, and you're going to wait for life to drop in insight.
Mm-hmm.
And it will.
Yeah.
And you'll see in that non-judgmental way that life has of giving us information – where you can course correct.
Cool.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It can all happen right here. It can all happen right in the moment. It's very relaxing. We don't have to go anywhere. We can go everywhere, but we don't have to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. All right.
And thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Take good care.
I will. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ellie. Sherry, I loved that thing you did, walking us through the presentation and then the beating and then the waking up and then being beaten for being asleep. And I mean, we have to laugh at some point. And
uh-huh.
You got me. Yep. And here I am. I'm back.
I'm back. Yeah. Yeah. Here I am. I don't need any more support from you. Thank you. I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here now.
It's so good. It really is. It's how we learn that life is infinitely kind. It's only egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate that is unkind, ever.
Mm. Yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is something that we can know, and as we pay attention, we can prove it to ourselves over and over and over again.
Mm. Have the experience of it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have another caller.
Oh, goody.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, can you hear me? It's Ramita.
We can.
Hi, Ramita.
Loud and clear.
Okay, excellent. I'm on my computer. I didn't know if I needed earbuds or not.
No, sound great.
As always, everything's good. I've had an interesting day, Sherry. Kind of, you know, talking to you like I would talk to my recorder, you know, reviewing my day. Slow, not much going on, thought that the energy was low, and then something happened that really got the energy going, anger, that sort of thing, and I came up with a feeling of, I can't contain this, I can't stand this. And then I had a practice opportunity.
Ramita, we're getting a lot of background noise. I don't know if things are...
My cat's playing with his toy. Let me see. Hang on a second.
He's a noisy little meow.
He was on his gym. I'm sorry. How's that?
Okay. Yeah, good.
Okay. So... What I realized in the reflective listening call, I was able to step back and look in terms of undulations. And I think what happened was today there was just a remarkably quick shifting from low to high, low to high, low to high.
Mm.
And once
no energy, lots of energy, no energy, lots of energy.
Yes. And, you know, since... Before I had the reflective listening, conditioning was successful in making me think there was a problem there. And as I talked about it and saw it, what I think happened is the awareness expanded into seeing this as a life process, nothing wrong, uncomfortable for conditioning, of course, and then it was just okay.
Then it's, I know you spend time on the ocean, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So there it is, right? The way you're up at the top, you're down at the bottom, you're up at the top, you're down at the bottom, you're up at the top, you're down. You know, it's not like, well, there's something wrong with this. Right? I mean, you just know that that's the case. We're in a boat. We're on the ocean. It's going to go up and down because that's how it goes. And so if we can just take that into life, so same thing. It's there are going to be undulations. Lots
yes,
of energy.
And sometimes,
don't
and
feel
sometimes,
it.
Sometimes the waves are really close to each other, and it still feels like something's wrong, even though I know it's just nature.
Yes. Well, because we're trained that way, right? We're trained to go to what's wrong with this. Isn't that funny to think about? So something like the ocean, it's the ocean. And still, conditioned mind is going to have opinions about, that's okay, ocean, that's not okay, ocean. That's the way ocean should be. That's not good.
Yes.
That's bad
ocean. I should
be able
ocean. To control this. I should be
yes.
able to ride it without discomfort.
Yeah, or I shouldn't be out here. Or this shouldn't be happening.
Okay, you should have known better than to get out here in this life stream and think you could ride with life. And
Yes. Yeah. So that reminder for me about the undulations, I think that undulations workshop is now available for people if they want to go to keepitsimple.org. I bet it's there. It's downloadable at this point.
Actually, but. I did download it. I haven't done it yet, but thank you for the reminder.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to speak very directly to this experience that you're having.
Excellent.
Yeah. Very good.
All right.
Yeah.
Something else to look forward to.
Yes. Well, you and Jungle Cat have a lovely rest of your evening.
I'll give him back his jungle gym and say thank you.
He can stop giving you dirty looks. Right? Like, what are you doing that's so important that I can't play?
He left the room in a huff. So.
Oh. But I bet he'll come back.
I think so.
Thank you, Ramita.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Rochelle.
Well, hello, Rochelle.
How are y'all doing?
Good. And yourself?
I am doing well. You know, we
having
a
good 2018?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Most definitely.
All right.
Most definitely.
Very good.
Yeah. So there has been something that's been coming up kind of recurrent, and I wanted to kind of get some feedback or at least some tracking and see if I'm kind of headed in the right direction with this. Periodically, I do things that either I travel to another country or I participate in a protest or something like that. And when I leave work and I'm going to do something that I perceive that may be somewhat dangerous or what have you, I let my staff know. What I tell them is like, okay, this is going on, or I'm leaving the country, or I'm participating in this. I don't anticipate any problems, but if something happens, you know, this is what you do in an emergency, or if, you know, God forbid, I die, this is what I need you to do office-wise and to make sure that certain things get taken care of. Most importantly, that you get your own payroll done while you settle up things with the office. And one person in particular is like, oh, my gosh, you keep talking about you're dying or something's going to happen. You know, nothing's going to happen. And I told this to her several times. I said, well, I hope that I live to be in my 90s and die in my sleep, but nothing's promised, and I don't want to give you the illusion that I plan to be here forever. And that and I'm also
and
the
that
only...
my plan means that I will be.
Yeah,
right?
exactly. And so, you know, but one very upset and very shocked that the idea that I won't be here forever and that something will happen. And, you know, I've find myself kind of like my parents were talking about death and dying or things like that, about just being prepared. And mm-hmm. I said, look, you know what? It's been a good run. You know, if I go tomorrow, I'm pleased and happy with how life has been. And I just want you to be prepared because there's some basic things you need to know about and need to do just to make sure that things are taken care of. I don't want to not be here and you can't get into the files and can't process payroll and your family is economically distressed because I died all of a sudden. Nobody knows what to do next with the business and with payroll and that type of thing. But every time I mention that, she's just kind of distressed about it. And I've talked to her a couple of times. I said, it doesn't mean, I don't think anything's happening. I try to be healthy and everything, but something will eventually. And I just shouldn't be aware of it. And I want you to know what to do next.
Oh, I think it is such a kindness. In fact, I don't know if you've heard me mention this, but later in the year, I want to do an email class where that's what we all do together, is lay out everything you know, including this is the memorial service I want. I want to be buried here. I want to be cremated. I want this. I want that. I want you to have this and her to have that and him to have that. And it's all laid out. So nobody even has to, if you're going to have a memorial service, they don't even have to wonder about the music, right? Everything is laid out. And, you know, conditioned minds. One person, that's so controlling. Well, yeah, okay, or it's kind. Because in a situation like that, as you're indicating, it's really hard. People are stressed. And if you add to that stress that they have no idea what this person would have wanted from them, it just seems cruel.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
you just being responsible and taking care of things. And, you know, who knows, it might be kind of planting seeds for her to think about, well, gosh, what would happen to my family? You know, what if something happened to me? And you know, just slowly get more comfortable with the idea that none of us will live forever.
Yeah. And that's the way I think of it, as a kindness. Kind of being prepared, or at least that I have
kind.
Exactly. I have tried to go through some of the preparations so that in that moment, I mean, if you know, however, whatever reaction you have, you're free to have that. But you also have kind of a guideline about what needs to be done next. And there are all kinds of, you know, professional things that need to be happening and, some, you know, records that need to be secured and all kinds of legal things and who can access bank accounts and stuff, that kind of stuff, so that you don't have to worry about that. It's already written down, who to notify, you know, that type of thing.
I'm with you.
Yeah, and it's almost like okay, here's and I'm gonna have, I have it written down, and this is what you need to do next. And my brother, I own the business, and so my brother would be handling that. And I've also got down for him what to do when something happens to me, and who to contact, and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
How to make sure you get payroll, because you know, as hard as I work, you know, and as much as I put into the business and everything, I don't have any choice of it whatsoever, but I'm trying to do all that I can that when I die, it doesn't all fall apart. They can sell it, or they can close it down, but it doesn't end poorly, so that it's such a dramatic and awful thing trying to tie up all this chaos that I leave behind, that it just, they don't even have time to do what they need to do. And I told them, you know, I don't care what you do with the body, you know. You know, and you know, don't be sitting around weeping and wailing and all that kind of stuff. Throw a party, have a good time, celebrate. I've had a good life, no matter how you look at it. Even at the deepest, darkest time, I've had a good life. And, you know, if you want to, you know, do my legacy, then take care of our clients or patients. Make sure you take care of yourselves and your family, be responsible, type of thing. And live
I'm
your
right
life.
There. Live I'm there with you. And I would add one other thing to that, Rochelle, for everybody to consider, and I'm going to hop on this any minute, and that is leaving our lives in such a way. So, you know, the person who has a three-car garage and it's just crammed full of every kind of thing that they've ever been able to collect and stick in there, and the closets are bursting and that sort of thing, and some poor soul winds up having to clean up the mess didn't have time to address while I was here. That's another kindness.
Exactly. And I told my niece, I said, you know, as soon as I, you know, stop working and retire or whatever, I'm downsizing. I mean, it's going to be really small and stuff. And she's like, well, what about all your art and what about all your stuff? I said, if you want it, put your name on it now. Give it to you.
It's going to be available soon.
Exactly, because I'm not attached to any of this. The older I get, the less I need.
and that type of stuff. And I told her that one reason I'm downsizing is a kindness to you, because she's the only grandchild. And I said, you know, I don't want you to have to clean out, you know, several houses. Every time each one of us dies, you got a house to clean out. I said, I'm not doing that to you. So
that's good. That's good.
And so,
thank you.
I just want to make sure that I wasn't. When I was looking at the three gates, I wanted to make sure this wasn't about me. I was trying to be kind to do this, and just the kind of distressed looks I get, you know, and I keep saying, oh, baby, I'm not going to live forever. And I just want to make sure I wasn't making it about me. I was making it, you know, this is the process, and this will happen eventually, and here's the instructions of how to keep things together.
Yep. Because I won't be here to nag you, so you're going to be on your own. So you need to have these instructions. Yeah. If it's any encouragement or consolation or whatever it is, I have the same thing. I have everything down to a gnat's eyelash, so nobody has to worry about anything. And it's stated in exactly that way. Now, you can all do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying this is how I would suggest that you do it. And then, you know, you're going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. You know, talk about no control, right? And we do.
And
that,
was that class you were talking about one that has occurred or one that's going to occur?
It's going to be one of the email classes later on. This first
wonderful.
One,
excellent.
I had wanted to do it for the first one, but this one that we're going to do is more important for launching the new year. In a little bit, but yeah. So keep posted, because I'm with you. I think it's really good, and part of that is if there is any fear lurking around, it's a good way to get in touch with it and then to deal with that, not in other people but in ourselves. You know, when we start laying out who's going to deliver the eulogy, you know, if they can get some cold feet there. And so if there's any of that, then we can address it and just get everything ready, everything finished, everything done, so that we're freed up to fully be here while we're here, not anxious or worried about anything.
Well, you know, yeah, and like the last breath, I don't want conditioning saying, oh, you forgot to give them the code
right.
to get into this. And, you know,
that's
I can
right.
just, and it's like,
they're
going
to have to blow up that safe.
Everything's done. I they have their instructions if they choose to follow it, but you can't get me with that on my last breath.
That's right. I'm just going to be smiling and saying, bye, it's been great.
Yeah, it's been a great run.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. Sherry, the thing I like most about your conversation with Rochelle is it just takes away the whole taboo about the whole subject when we just put it out there and talk about as it is and how it's going to be and who's going to do what and all that.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it, that there's so all that fear and superstition that keeps something a taboo subject to talk about when we know it's going to happen. It's not a, you know, it's not an if, it's a when. But again, you know, these are the ways that we get to see how conditioning controls people.
Yes, exactly. That's what
scary.
I was
don't
just
talk
saying.
About it. Yeah. Yeah, don't talk about
scary.
It. Maybe it won't happen.
Right. Don't look at it. And yet I spend all my time, you know, subconsciously worried and concerned about it. And then I'm unable to be present.
Yeah.
To the beauty.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, we're going for present.
We're going for presence. And Sherry, we are just about at time here.
All right. Well, then I shall say adieu and see you soon, I hope. Take care of yourself. Talk to you next week if all goes well.
Perfect.
But we don't
Thank
know.
Thank you, Sherry. We never
really
know.
We don't know. But you have all the codes in case anything happens to me. If anything happens to you, I'll just throw up my hands and somebody will save me. That's my plan. All right. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.